Chapter 105. Disc brakes. Disc brakes. Parts and operation. Disc brakes use a pistons to squeeze friction material, pads, on both sides of a rotating disc, rotor. Disc may be spelled disc by some manufacturers, but disc is the SAE, or Society of Automotive Engineers, term in the most commonly used spelling in the industry. The rotor is attached to and stops the wheel. Disc brakes are used on the front wheels of late model vehicles, and on the rear wheels of an increasing number of automobiles. Disc brakes were adopted primarily because they can supply greater stopping power than drum brakes with less likelihood of fade. This makes disc brakes especially well suited for use as front brakes, which must provide 60% to 80% of the vehicle's total stopping power. Disc brake advantages. Although increased federal brake performance standards hasten the switch to disc brakes, the front drum brakes would eventually have been eliminated anyway because disc brakes are superior in almost every respect. The disc brake friction assembly has several significant strong points, and only a few relatively minor weak points. See Figure 105-1. Refer to Figure 105-1. An exploded view of a typical disc brake assembly. Refer to Figure 105-2. Braking force is applied equally to both sides of the brake rotor. The main advantages of the disc brake include the following. Fade resistance. The main design feature that helps disc brakes avoid heat-induced fade is their cooling ability because all of the major parts of a disc brake are exposed to the air flowing over the friction assembly. Many brake rotors also have cooling passages cast into them to further reduce operating temperatures and have greater fade resistance than drum brakes because they have greater swept area. Swept area is the amount of brake drum or rotor friction surface that moves past the brake linings every time the drum or rotor completes a rotation. Disc brakes are resistant to all kinds of fade, including the following. Mechanical fade is not a problem with disc brakes because, unlike a brake drum, the disc brake rotor expands toward the brake linings as it heats up rather than away from them. This fundamental design difference makes it physically impossible for heat to cause the rotor to expand out of contact with the brake linings. Because of this, there is never the need to move the brake linings out to keep them in contact with the rotor, so brake pedal travel does not increase. If the brake pedal on a vehicle with disc brakes drops toward the floor, it is almost always a sign of vapor lock, a fluid leak, fluid bypassing the seals in the master cylinder, or mechanical fade of the rear drum brakes. Lining fade can and does occur if the brakes become overheated. A little bit of heat brings the brake pads to their operating temperature and actually increases the friction coefficient of the lining material. A warm brake performs better than a cold brake. However, when too much heat is generated by braking, the lining material overheats. Its friction coefficient drops, and lining fade occurs. The primary symptom of lining fade is a hard brake pedal that requires the driver to apply greater force to maintain stopping power. Unlike the similar situation in a drum brake, however, increased application force will not distort the brake rotor because the caliper applies equal force to both sides. See Figure 105-2. Increased pressure will, however, create even more heat. And if brake lining temperatures continue to increase, gas fade and vapor lock of the hydraulic system can occur. If the pads are overheated to the point where the lining material is physically damaged, the brakes will not recover their full stopping power until the pads are replaced. See Figure 105-3. Refer to Figure 105-3. Disc brakes can absorb and dissipate a great deal of heat. During this demonstration, the brakes were gently applied as the engine drove the front wheels until the rotor became cherry red. During normal braking, the rotor temperature can exceed 350 degrees Fahrenheit, or 180 degrees Celsius, and about 1,500 degrees Fahrenheit, or 800 degrees Celsius, on a race vehicle. Gas fade is a problem only under severe braking conditions when hot gases and dust particles from the linings are trapped between the brake linings and rotor, where they act as lubricants. The symptoms of gas fade are the same as those for lining fade. The pedal becomes hard and increased force is required to maintain stopping power. Even though disc brakes operate at higher temperatures than drum brakes, they have fewer problems with gas fade for a number of reasons. Number 1. Disc brakes do not have a drum to contain gases and particles in the area around the brake linings. Number 2. The constant flow of air over the brake carries away contaminants that might otherwise build up. And Number 3. The surface area of the brake lining material in a disc brake is smaller than that of a comparable drum brake, and this allows gases and particles to escape more easily. To help prevent gas fade, many brake pads have slots cut in the lining material. These slots allow gases and dust particles to escape. See Figure 105-4. The holes required in riveted linings also perform this function. For even greater protection against gas fade, high-performance vehicles and motorcycles sometimes have holes or slots cut into the rotor. These openings allow gases and water to escape, and their sharp edges continually wipe loose particles off the linings. Water fade is not a big problem with disc brakes because centrifugal force created by the spinning rotor throws off most moisture, and the brake pads positioned only a few thousandths of an inch away from the rotor continuously wipe it clean. When the brakes are applied, the leading edge of the brake pad lining material wipes the last bit of water from the disc. Once good lining to rotor contact is established, water is unable to enter the space between the linings and rotor until the brakes are released. Although far more resistant to water fade than drum brakes, disc brakes are not entirely free from its effects. Splash shields and the vehicle's wheels help keep water off of the rotor, and the brake lining materials specified for most vehicles minimize the effects of water fade. Refer to Figure 105-4. Slots and holes in the brake linings help prevent gas and water fade. Self-adjusting ability. Disc brakes are self-adjusting because any wear of the linings is automatically compensated for by the action of the brake caliper. When the brakes are applied, the caliper pistons move out as far as needed to force the brake pads into contact with the rotor. When the brakes are released, the piston retracts only the small distance dictated by rotor runout and piston seal flex. See Figure 105-5. The surface finish on the piston must be clean to allow the piston to slide past this seal. Excessive friction between the caliper piston and the caliper bore can prevent the piston from retracting. If the force of the caliper seal is not strong enough, the piston stays in the applied position. Because the brake pads are still in contact with the rotor, one or both pads will show excessive wear. Freedom from pull. A disc brake will stop straighter under a wider range of conditions than will a drum brake. A disc brake is self-cleaning, will throw off most water, and is less likely to pull. Disc brakes do not have self-energizing or servo action. Because disc brakes do not use friction between the linings and rotor to increase their braking power, the effects of a loss of friction on one side of the vehicle are far less pronounced than with drum brakes. Disc brake disadvantages. The most notable fact about the disadvantages of disc brakes is that there are so few. The weaknesses of disc brakes include the following. No self-energizing or servo action. The disc brake's lack of self-energizing or servo action is a disadvantage for two reasons. Number 1. It contributes to poor parking brake performance and requires the driver to push harder on the brake pedal for a given stop. However, the problem of high pedal pressures has been eliminated through the use of brake power boosters. Number 2. It is easier to modulate the brakes for the exact amount of stopping power desired. Brake noise. Probably the biggest complaint about disc brakes is that they sometimes make various squeaks and squeals during a brake application. As long as the brake linings are not worn down to the backing plate, these noises are usually caused by high-frequency rattling or vibration of the brake pads. Several methods are used to quiet noisy disc brakes. Manufacturers use specific lining materials that damp vibrations, and most calipers have anti-rattle clips or springs that hold the pads in the caliper under tension to help prevent vibration. See Figure 105-6. Some calipers use special shims between the brake pad backing plate and the caliper piston to damp vibrations. See Figure 105-7. These shims may be made of metal or fiber. Anti-noise sprays and brush-on liquids are available and provide a cushion layer between the pad and the caliper piston. The bond lowers the natural frequency of the pad, and the cushion layer damps any vibration that may still occur. Brake dust. Because the lining is exposed on a disc brake, rather than being enclosed as on a drum brake, some brake dust can accumulate on the wheels. This brake dust is often dark brown or black and can stain wheels if not cleaned often or protected from the dust. Poor parking brake performance. The lack of self-energizing or servo action plays a large part in poor disc brake parking brake performance. The lining to rotor contact area of a disc brake is somewhat smaller than the lining to drum contact area of a drum brake. This causes the disc brake to have a lower static coefficient of friction, and therefore less holding power when the vehicle is stopped. Refer to Figure 105-5. The square cut O-ring not only seals hydraulic brake fluid but also retracts the caliper piston when the brake pedal is released. Tech tip. Check the tire size for a pulling problem. If an unequal braking problem is being diagnosed, check that the front tires match and that the rear tires match. Brake slow and stop wheels. Unequal diameter tires create an unequal braking force. The result may be a pulling toward one side while braking. Tire diameter can vary from one tire manufacturer to another even though the size designation is the same. Even slight differences in the wear of tires can cause a different tire diameter and, therefore, a different braking force. Refer to Figure 105-6. Anti-rattle clips reduce brake pad movement and vibration. Refer to Figure 105-7. Anti-vibration shims are used behind the pads on many disc brake caliper designs. Tech tip: wax the wheels. Brake dust from semi-metallic brake pads often discolors the front wheels. Customers often complain to service technicians about this problem, but it is normal for the front wheels to become dirty because the iron and other metallic and non-metallic components wear off the front disc brake pads and adhere to the wheel covers. A coat of wax on the wheels or wheel covers helps prevent damage and makes it easier to wash off the brake dust. Disc brake construction. A disc brake is relatively simple compared with a drum brake. The major disc brake friction assembly components include the following. Caliper. With the exception of the rotor, the caliper is the largest part of a disc brake friction assembly. The brake caliper uses hydraulic pressure to create the mechanical force required to move the brake pads into contact with the brake rotor. At the front axle, the caliper mounts to the spindle or steering knuckle. See Figure 105-8. Rear disc brake calipers mount to a support bracket on the axle flange or suspension. See Figure 105-9. Splash shield. The splash shield bolts to the front spindle or steering knuckle, or in rear disc brake applications, to the axle flange or a suspension adapter plate. The job of the splash shield is to protect the inner side of the brake rotor from water and other contaminants, whereas the outer side of the rotor is protected by the wheel. Most splash shields are made of stamped steel or plastic. Refer to Figure 105-8. This brake caliper attaches to the front spindle. Refer to Figure 105-9. A rear disc brake caliper often attaches to a mounting bracket on the rear axle housing. Refer to Figure 105-10. A typical disc brake pad. Disc brake pads. The lining of a disc brake is part of an assembly called the brake pad. See Figure 105-10. Compared to a brake shoe, a brake pad is a relatively simple part that consists of a block of friction material attached to a stamped steel backing plate. Some pad backing plates have tabs that bend over the caliper to hold the pad tightly in place and help prevent brake noise. See Figure 105-11. Other pad backing plates have tabs with holes in them as shown in Figure 105-12. A pin slips through the holes and fastens to the caliper body to hold the pads in position. Still other pad backing plates have a retainer spring attached that locates the pad in the caliper by locking it to the caliper piston. See Figure 105-13. As with brake shoes, the lining material of a disc pad can be any one of a number of products that can be fastened to the backing plate in several ways. The edges of the lining material on a brake pad are usually perpendicular to the rotor surface, although a few larger pads do have tapered edges to help combat vibration and noise. See Figure 105-14. Refer to Figure 105-11. To prevent noise, bent tabs on the backing plate hold some brake pads to the caliper housing. Refer to Figure 105-12. Holes in the backing plate are a method of locating a pad in the caliper. Refer to Figure 105-13. Retainer springs lock the pad to the caliper piston to prevent brake noise. Refer to Figure 105-14. The lining edges of some brake pads are tapered to help prevent vibration. Frequently asked question: why are some brake pads slotted and others not? Brake pads are designed by the vehicle manufacturer for each specific application. Some are tapered at the ends and others are slotted, and many are tapered and slotted. According to brake design engineers, these features are designed to help reduce brake noise. By changing the size of the pad area or by breaking it up into sections by slotting, the frequency of the sound generated during braking changes. For best results, use a replacement brake pad that has the same design features as the original brake pads. Pad wear indicators. Although not required by law, a growing number of vehicle manufacturers are fitting pad wear indicators to their brakes for safety reasons. Pad wear indicators are either mechanical or electrical and signal the driver when the lining material has worn to the point where pad replacement is necessary. A mechanical wear indicator is a small spring steel tab riveted to the pad backing plate. When the friction material wears to a predetermined thickness, the tab contacts the rotor and makes a squealing or chirping noise. When the brakes are not applied, that alerts the driver to the need for service. See Figure 105-15. Electrical wear indicators. such as those shown in Figure 105-16, use a coated electrode embedded in the lining material to generate the warning signal. The electrode is wired to a warning light in the instrument panel, and when the lining wears sufficiently, the electrode grounds against the rotor to complete the circuit and turn on the warning light. On newer vehicles, the pad wear sensor is a two-wire input to the electronic brake control module, abbreviated EBCM. The module can detect faults in the sensor wiring. When a pad sensor begins to ground out against the brake rotor, the EBCM uses the serial data link to display a warning message in the driver information center. Figure 105-15. Typical pad wear sensor operation. It is very important that the disc brake pads are installed on the correct side of the vehicle to be assured that the wear sensor will make a noise when the pads are worn. If the pads with a sensor are installed on the opposite side of the vehicle, the sensor tab is turned so that the rotor touches it going the opposite direction. Usually the correct direction is where the rotor contacts the sensor before contacting the pads when the wheels are being rotated in the forward direction. Pad assembly methods. As mentioned previously, there are several methods that are used to mount brake linings, including the following. Riveted linings take advantage of the oldest method of lining attachment still in use. In this system, the brake block is attached to the backing plate with copper or aluminum rivets. The major advantage of riveting is that it allows a small amount of flex between the brake block backing plate. This play enables the assembly to absorb vibration, and the result is that riveted linings operate more quietly than bonded linings. However, the rivet holes create stress points in the lining where cracks are likely to develop. Bonded linings use high-temperature adhesive to glue the brake block directly to the shoe pad backing plate. Heat and pressure are then applied to cure the assembly. Bonding is a common form of shoe and pad assembly, and is most often used to mount organic friction materials. Bonding offers several advantages. Without rivets, bonded linings can wear closer to the backing plate and provide a longer service life. If the linings wear too far, bonding adhesive is not as destructive to rotors as rivets. Bonded linings also have fewer problems with cracking because they have no rivet holes to weaken the brake block. The primary disadvantage of bonded linings is a limited ability to withstand high temperatures. If a bonded lining gets too hot, the bonding adhesive will fail and allow the brake block to separate from the backing plate. Bonded linings are also more prone to be noisy because they do not allow any vibration-absorbing flex between the brake block and backing plate. Mold bonded linings are found on some disc brake pads. Mold bonding is a manufacturing process that combines the advantages of bonding with some of the mechanical strength of riveting. Instead of riveting and/or bonding a cured brake block to a separate backing plate, the friction material in a mold bonded pad is cured on the backing plate during manufacture. This process is also called integrally molded. Most high performance disc brake pads are made in this way. To make a mold bonded pad, one or more holes are punched in the pad backing plate, and a high-temperature adhesive is applied to it. The backing plate is then installed in a molding machine where uncured friction material is formed onto the plate and forced into the holes. See Figure 105-17. Once the pad is cured under heat and pressure, the bonding adhesive combines with the portions of the lining that extend into the backing plate holes to solidly lock the brake block in place. Refer to Figure 105-16. Electrical wear indicators ground a warning light circuit when the pads need replacement. Brake rotors. The brake rotor provides the friction surfaces for the brake pads to rub against. The rotor, the largest and heaviest part of a disc brake, is usually made of cast iron because that metal has excellent friction and wear properties. There are two basic types of rotors. Number 1. Solid. Solid rotors are most often used on the rear of vehicles equipped with four-wheel disc brakes. And Number 2. Vented. Vented rotors have radial cooling passages cast between the friction surfaces. See Figure 105-18. Refer to Figure 105-17. Mold bonded linings are commonly used in many applications. Refer to Figure 105-18. Disc brake rotors can be either solid or vented. Refer to Figure 105-19. Figure A. Many fixed caliper disc brakes use a simple retaining pin to hold the disc brake pads. Figure B. Removing the retainer pin allows the brake pads to be removed. Figure C. Notice the crossover hydraulic passage that connects both sides of the caliper. Most fixed calipers use 4, 2 on each side, or 6 pistons, 3 on each side, of the rotor. Disc brake designs. There are three types of calipers. Number 1. Fixed. Number 2. Floating. And Number 3. Sliding. Fixed caliper design. The fixed brake caliper is the earliest design. See Figure 105-19. The fixed caliper has a body manufactured in two halves, and uses two, four, or six pistons to apply the brake pads. The fixed caliper gets its name from the fact that the caliper is rigidly mounted to the suspension. When the brakes are applied, the pistons extend from the caliper bores and apply the brake pads with equal force from both sides of the rotor. No part of the caliper body moves when the brakes are applied. Fixed caliper advantages. Fixed calipers are relatively large and heavy, which enables them to absorb and dissipate great amounts of heat. This allows the brake rotor and pads to run cooler, and reduce the amount of heat transferred to the brake fluid. Compared with other caliper designs, a fixed caliper is able to withstand a greater number of repeated hard stops without heat-induced fade or vapor lock of the hydraulic system. The size and rigid mounting of a fixed caliper also means it does not flex as much as other designs. A caliper that is flexing is usually felt by the driver as a spongy brake pedal. Fixed calipers are very strong and provide a firm and linear brake pedal feel. The strength and heat dissipating abilities of fixed calipers make them best suited for heavy-duty use such as in most race vehicles. Fixed caliper disadvantages. The size and weight of fixed calipers are advantages in heavy-duty use, but they add weight to the vehicle. Another disadvantage of fixed calipers is that with multiple pistons and split bodies, service is more difficult and allows greater opportunity for leaks. The drilled passages that route fluid through the inside of the caliper body also contribute to cracking as miles accumulate and the caliper goes through hundreds of thousands of heating and cooling cycles. Refer to Figure 105-20. This floating caliper mounts on a separate anchor plate that bolts to the vehicle suspension. Refer to Figure 105-21. Hydraulic force on the piston, left, is applied to the inboard pad and the caliper housing itself. The reaction of the piston pushing against the rotor causes the entire caliper to move toward the inside of the vehicle, large arrow. Since the outboard pad is retained by the caliper, the reaction of the moving caliper applies the force of the outboard pad against the outboard surface of the rotor. Floating and sliding caliper design. The front brakes of most vehicles are fitted with either floating or sliding calipers, which are not rigidly mounted. The caliper is free to move within a limited range on an anchor plate that is solidly mounted to the vehicle suspension. The anchor plate may be cast into a suspension member, often the front spindle, or it can be a separate piece that bolts to the suspension. See Figure 105-20. When the brakes are applied, the caliper piston moves out of its bore and applies the inner brake pad. At the same time, the caliper body moves in the opposite direction on the anchor plate and applies the outer brake pad. With a floating or sliding caliper, the caliper body moves every time the brakes are applied. See Figure 105-21. Normal caliper operation. The piston moves just enough to distort the caliper seal and returns to the original position when the brake pedal is released. Wear compensation. The piston moves more than the caliper seal can distort. It moves through the seal until the pad contacts the rotor. The caliper piston returns to the released position by the seal distortion, the same as during normal operation, except now in a different, more applied position. As the wear occurs and the piston moves, additional brake fluid is needed behind the piston. This additional brake fluid comes from the master cylinder and the brake fluid level drops as the disc brake pads wear. Floating and sliding caliper advantages. The biggest advantages of floating and sliding calipers are lower cost, simple construction, and compact size. Most floating and sliding calipers are single piston designs. Because they have fewer pieces, floating and sliding calipers are cheaper to build and service, and have fewer places where leaks can develop. The smaller size of floating and sliding calipers also allows better packaging of the caliper on the vehicle. A single piston caliper with a piston located on the inboard side of the brake rotor fits easily within the diameter of a small wheel. The inboard position of the caliper piston also contributes to better cooling because the bulk of the caliper body is exposed to the passing airflow. Like any disc brake, floating and sliding calipers have poor parking brake performance. Unlike a fixed caliper, a floating or sliding caliper can be mechanically actuated by applying the single piston with a cable and lever mechanism. Floating and sliding caliper disadvantages. The movable caliper body allows a certain degree of flex, which can contribute to a spongy brake pedal. Caliper flex also allows the caliper body to twist slightly when the brakes are applied, causing tapered wear of the brake pad lining material. See Figure 105-22. Although the inboard piston location of floating and sliding calipers provides good cooling, these designs can never absorb as much heat, and therefore have the fade resistance, as a fixed caliper with similar stopping power. Floating and sliding calipers simply do not have the massive fixed calipers, and their flexible mounting systems slow the transfer of heat from the caliper body to the anchor plate and other suspension components that aid in the cooling process. Floating caliper operation. The body of a floating caliper does not make direct metal-to-metal contact with the anchor plate. See Figure 105-23. Instead, the caliper body is supported by bushings and O-rings that allow it to float or slide on metal guide pins or locating sleeves attached to the anchor plate. For this reason, some automakers call the floating caliper a pin slider caliper. The bushings that support floating calipers are made from a number of materials including rubber, Teflon, and nylon. The O-rings are generally made from high-temperature synthetic rubber. See Figure 105-24. The guide pins and sleeves are made of steel and come in a variety of shapes and sizes for different caliper designs. See Figure 105-25. Floating calipers depend on proper lubrication of their pins, sleeves, bushings, and O-rings for smooth operation. If these parts become rusted or corroded, the caliper will bind and stick, causing loss of braking power that is usually accompanied by rapid and unusual wear of brake pads. Special high-temperature brake grease must be used to lubricate these parts anytime the caliper is disassembled. Many manufacturers recommend that floating caliper pins, sleeves, bushings, and O-rings be replaced whenever the caliper is serviced. These parts come in a small parts kit available from brake part suppliers. Refer to Figure 105-22. Caliper flex can cause tapered wear of the brake lining. Frequently asked question. What is a low-drag caliper? A low-drag caliper differs from a standard caliper in the area of the square-cut O-ring. A V-shaped cutout allows the O-ring to deflect more and, as a result, is able to pull the caliper piston back into the bore when the brakes are released. Because of this further movement, the brake pads are pulled farther from the rotor and are less likely to drag. The negative aspect of this design is that greater volume of brake fluid is needed to achieve a brake application. To compensate for this need for greater brake fluid volume, a quick take-up master cylinder was designed and is used whenever low-drag calipers are used. See Figure 105-26. Sliding calipers. Unlike a floating caliper, the body of a sliding caliper mounts in direct metal-to-metal contact with the anchor plate. See Figure 105-27. Instead of pins and bushings, sliding calipers move on ways cast and machined into the caliper body and anchor plate. See Figure 105-28. Retaining clips and the design of the caliper prevent the body from coming out of the ways once the caliper is assembled. On some calipers, the ways may have to be filed for proper clearance between the caliper body and anchor plate if the caliper is replaced. Like floating calipers, sliding calipers depend on good lubrication of their ways for proper operation. If not properly coated with high-temperature brake grease, the ways can rust or corrode, causing the caliper to drag or seize. Refer to Figure 105-23. A typical single-piston floating caliper. In this type of design, the entire caliper moves when the single piston is pushed out of the caliper during a brake application. When the caliper moves, the outboard pad is pushed against the rotor. Refer to Figure 105-24. Floating calipers are supported by rubber O-rings or plastic bushings. Refer to Figure 105-25. Metal guide pins and sleeves are used to retain and locate floating calipers. Refer to Figure 105-26. In a standard disc brake caliper, the square cut O-ring deforms when the brakes are applied and returns the piston to its original, released, position due to the elastic properties of the rubber seal. In a low-drag caliper design, the groove for the square cut O-ring is V-shaped, allowing for more retraction. When the brake pedal is released, the piston is moved away from the rotor further, resulting in less friction between the disc brake pads and the rotor when the brakes are released. Refer to Figure 105-27. Exploded view of a typical sliding brake caliper. Refer to Figure 105-28. Sliding calipers move on machined ways. Rear disc brakes. In recent years, four-wheel disc brake systems have become more common. In most rear-wheel applications, drum brakes are adequate to provide the relatively small portion of a vehicle's total braking power required of them. Because rear drum brakes are lightly loaded, fade is a problem only in extreme conditions when the front brakes fade and force the rear brakes to take on a larger part of the braking load. The automatic adjusting ability of disc brakes is also less of an advantage in slow-wearing rear brakes. Refer to Figure 105-29. Exploded view of a typical rear disc brake with an integral parking brake. The parking brake lever mechanically pushes the caliper piston against the rotor. Rear disc parking brakes. There are two methods of providing parking brakes when rear discs are installed on a vehicle. Number 1. Adapt the disc brake to also function as the parking brake. This is done by installing a series of cables, levers, and internal parts to mechanically actuate the brake caliper. See figures 105-29 and 105-30. And number 2. Use mechanically actuated drum brakes inside the rear rotors. See figure 105-31. Refer to figure 105-30. This single piston brake caliper is mechanically actuated to serve as a parking brake. Refer to figure 105-31. Drum parking brakes are fitted inside the rotors on this vehicle equipped with rear disc brakes. Review questions. Question 1. What are the advantages and disadvantages of disc brakes? Question 2. What parts are included in a typical disc brake? Question 3. How does a low drag caliper work? Question 4. What mechanism is used to apply the parking brake on a vehicle equipped with rear disc brakes? Question 5. Where are anti-rattle clips used? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. What part causes the disc brake caliper piston to retract when the brakes are released? A. Return, or retracting, spring. B. The rotating rotor, or disc, that pushes the piston back. C. The square cut O-ring. D. The caliper bushings. Question 2. Slots are often used in brake pads because they A. Reduce brake noise. B. Increase brake life. C. Reduce brake fade. D. Improve braking performance. Question 3. Which of the following is not a component of a disc brake? System. A. Backing plate. B. Splash shield. C. Caliper. D. Brake pads. Question 4. Technician says that riveted disc brake pads are often quieter than bonded disc brake pads. Technician B says, integrally molded disc brake pads are molded into holes in the steel backing of the pads. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 5. Two technicians are discussing the reason that the brake fluid level in the master cylinder drops. Technician A says that it may be normal due to the wear of the disc brake pads. Technician B says that this is part of the wear compensation feature of disc brakes. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 6. Two technicians are discussing a floating type disc brake caliper. Technician A says that if the caliper slides are corroded, one pad may wear more than the other pad on the same wheel brake. Technician B says that if a caliper slide is corroded, reduced braking may occur. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 7. Technician A says that disc brakes are self-adjusting and the brake pedal height should not become lower as the disc brake pads wear. Technician B says that as the disc brake pads wear, the level of brake fluid in the master cylinder reservoir drops. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 8. Which type of disc brake caliper may leak brake fluid more often? A. Sliding. B. Fixed. C. Floating. D. Single piston. Question 9. Technician A says that all vehicles equipped with rear disc brakes use a parking brake that is integrated in the caliper. Technician B says that all vehicles equipped with rear disc brakes use a small drum brake inside the rear rotor for a parking brake. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 10. A four-piston caliper is used in what type of caliper design? A. Floating. B. Fixed. C. Sliding. D. Either fixed or floating. End of chapter 105.